We've been talking about the Holy Spirit of God. That is our series. When we began the series, we began by talking about the Holy Spirit today, looking at what the Holy Spirit is doing in life today. Last week, we talked about the Holy Spirit fills. If you were not with us last week, we took Ephesians chapter 5 and we took it apart and said a lot of words about that great text. And then we took this little booklet and we gave a copy of this booklet to each one of our people, and we walked through various principles of this booklet, which is basically a booklet that teaches us what it means to be filled with the Spirit. Let me ask you today, have you looked at that booklet this week? Have many of you prayed through that booklet this week? You know, this booklet can help you personally in your walk with Jesus Christ. But along the way of life, you're also able to share it with some people who need it. I had that privilege even last night. I've had three of my close staff members to me who they are just, I mean, major University of Alabama football fanatics. I mean, that's all we ever hear in the office. I mean, honest, it's amazing when we're hearing reports and testimonies or praying, Buster and I and others, we're saying, yes, amen, Lord, to your glory. They're over there saying, row tide, row tide. And I had all I could stand yesterday, so when I knew they were going to lose the game yesterday, I just really felt led to share with them the following text. Turn out the lights. All three of you birds, get out your spirit-filled booklet I gave you last week. Read it, rinse, and repeat. You need it. So along the way of life, you're able to share the booklet. Do you understand? Keep it close to your heart. Keep it close to sharing it with not only yourself, but with others. But today we're going to talk about how the Holy Spirit leads. Aren't you glad today the Holy Spirit leads? Today we're going to look at a powerful passage of Scripture over in Galatians chapter 5. In Galatians chapter 5, we read the words as penned by the Apostle Paul to the churches there in the Galatia region, but they come from God Himself. They are inspired of the Lord. Beginning with verse 16, I want to read through verse 26. The Bible says, I say then, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. Look and see what the Scripture says. For the flesh desires what is against the Spirit, and the Spirit desires what is against the flesh. These are opposed to each other, so that you don't do what you want. Verse 18, but if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. I just want to stop and say today, that's good news. Verse 19, now the works of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, moral impurity, promiscuity, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, strife, jealousy, outburst of anger, selfish ambitions, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and anything similar, about which I tell you in advance, as I told you before, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faith, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh and with its passions and desires. Now verse 25 is the key verse for today. Listen to what it says. Since we live by the Spirit, we must also follow the Spirit. Since we live by the Spirit, we must also follow the Spirit. If you have a pen, you ought to underline that. If you're on an electronic device, you should highlight that verse, because that verse is so critical to understanding the passage. And then in verse 26, we must not become conceited, arrogant, provoking one another. That means offending one another, envying one another, which means to what? Want what someone else has. That's never a life that God leads us to live. Through your life, you will follow something or someone. It is inevitable. In fact, we learn in this passage today that when we choose to follow our flesh, our desires, our passions, it will be not only disastrous, but destructive. Conversely, when we learn to follow the leadership of the Holy Spirit, we will live overflowing, fruitful lives. I'm reminded of what the Bible tells us in the 8th chapter of the book of Romans in verse number 14. All those led by God's Spirit are God's sons. In other words, when we fall in line and we follow the Holy Spirit of God in life, it is indicative that we are children of God. But when we do not follow what He says, it could be telling us that we are really not children of the King. Many of us act as if the Holy Spirit did not show up on the scene until the second chapter of the book of Acts. Not so. The Holy Spirit is God. He has been existent all along. He was even present at creation, and that's why Genesis chapter 1, verse number 2 says, "And the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters." The Spirit, that is the Hebrew word ruach, which means wind, breath, or spirit. So when you see that mentioned in the Old Testament, usually it's using that word ruach, meaning wind, breath, or spirit. Even at creation, the Spirit of God was involved. He was present. He was active. But He continued all throughout the Old Testament doing the same. In the New Testament, in the same manner, even as Jesus had taught, but He would come and He would go. But in Acts chapter 2, everything did change. In the New Testament, the Greek word there is the word pneuma that is used in Galatians chapter number 5. It means to blow, it means breath, it means wind, it means spirit. And this is the word that is used in this Galatians section that we used a moment ago. In fact, that same word pneuma is used 18 times in the original language in the book of Galatians and 379 times in the entire New Testament. All that indicates to us is the following. God has always been, God is, and God will forever be active and involved in your life. Now, when we come to faith in Jesus Christ, everything changes. Would you agree? The Holy Spirit enters your life. Years ago, He would come and go in the Old Testament, but not so from Acts 2 and on. For when He came into your life, He never leaves you, nor does He ever forsake you. And when we are being filled with the Spirit, we will be led. We will follow the Holy Spirit. Listen, my tendency as a teacher, pastor, would be to dive deep into Galatians 5. I would love to stay several weeks in these verses that we read. We literally could stay several weeks in those verses. They're powerful verses. But because of time and the demands of life and today, I want us to go down deep, but don't stay long. And I want us to build the Word today about how the Holy Spirit leads on four verbs that are used in this passage. They are there for specific reasons, calling us to action, telling us how God is active in our lives if the Holy Spirit is living within us. Therefore, I'm going to give to you today four insights that occur in your life and my life when, listen to this, when we experience the filling of the Holy Spirit and when we are following the leadership of the Holy Spirit. It's not one or the other, it's both and. You can't follow His lead if you're not being filled. And if you're filled, then you will follow. So with all of that, what do we learn about how the Holy Spirit leads? The first insight is this: the Holy Spirit leads towards progress. Progress. The Bible tells us in the Word, in Galatians chapter 5, verse 16 and 17, that He leads us towards progress. Now, we have to interpret these verses in light of Galatians 5. We sang about it a moment ago. And that is that through Jesus Christ, He liberated us. And not only did He liberate and set us free, but He freed us from the bondage of our sin. When Paul uses the word walk in verse number 16, that is a key word. You might ought to circle it. What that word means is to make progress continually. If I'm walking, I'm making progress continually. If I'm stopping, progress has ceased. Therefore, when I am walking by the Spirit, I am progressing in the direction God wants me to progress in my life. So where is that? How am I progressing? He tells us there are two ways in these two verses we mentioned. He is moving us towards progress. Listen to this. From our past. From our past. He is taking us from our past. What do I mean by that? Look at verse 16. You will not carry out the desire of your flesh. Remember, before Jesus Christ came into your life, you lived a flesh life. We talked about it last 2 weeks ago in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. We even mentioned it again last week. Natural, people who are natural, people who are natural, they do not receive, they do not understand the things of God. So with that, we have to understand that when we have been saved, we move into a battle. And that battle is we got to work through our past. Many of us struggle with this to this day, dealing with our past. The great news today is that Christ has come, filled you with the Holy Spirit, wants you to follow His Spirit, who will lead you towards making progress from your past. Listen, if you're living in your past, you're not making progress. Progress means you're going forward. Progress doesn't mean that you are paralyzed in the minutiae of your past. I'm telling you, one of the great words that the Church of Jesus Christ needs to hear today, who say that they know Christ the Redeemer and who they say has changed their lives, is Romans chapter 8, verse number 1. Therefore, there is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Don't you let Satan condemn you, and don't you let your flesh condemn you. God wants you to move from that towards progress. But also, not only from your past, but through the war within you. There is a major war within us today. It is a real live war. And I want to say to every one of you who say you're Christ followers, if you don't understand there's a war within you, you're going to lose the war continually. I mean, there's a war within you. He speaks about it in verse 17. For the flesh desires what is against the Spirit. Our carnal flesh, our independent wills and ways, listen to me today, they are against the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Do you believe that? At the same time, what you find interesting, he mentions here, is that the Holy Spirit at the same time longs to be against our flesh and our carnal ways. Our flesh and our independent ways and the Holy Spirit within us are against one another, and they are adversely opposed to each other. Why is that? Because inside of us there's a war. That war is personified through choices in life. I mean, do you ever feel that war going on within you? You got a choice between right or wrong, and you would think you'd be way past that. But boy, I mean, there's a luring choice. I'm telling you, the flesh is powerful. The flesh lures you away from God, and the Holy Spirit's trying to get you to God. Are you with me? He is trying to move us towards progress. I promise you, we do the Christian life a horrible disservice when we make the will of God all about a destination. It's not about a destination. At times it can be, but ultimately it's toward a process. God's got you in process, and that process needs to be in progress. You want to know where you are with the Lord today? Here's where you are. How and what kind of progress have you made this past week versus last week when you came in this room? Progress. Progress. If it's just one thing, thank God you've made progress. That's growing in your faith. That's better than being paralyzed in your present or paralyzed by your past. Many of us today, we still struggle with those things. Don't struggle with those things any longer. God wants us to understand that His Holy Spirit, if we follow Him, He will lead us towards progress from our past and through the war that is within us. There's a war in you. Who's winning that war, the flesh or the spirit? I mean, it's raging in you. It's raging in you if you know Christ. But the Holy Spirit not only leads us towards progress, he leads us by giving guidance. He gives us guidance. Aren't you glad He does? The Bible talks about this giving of guidance in verse 18 through 24. If you're being led by the Holy Spirit, what does that mean? It means that He will drive you. He will lay hold of you. It means that He will carry you, giving you personal guidance. In other words, you have an inward GPS system in you. He's leading you. He's guiding you. He is mapping out for you how you get through your life. What does He give guidance relating to? He mentions it here in the passage. First, He gives you guidance away from the bondage of the law. The bondage of the law, verse number 18. But if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law any longer. Listen, at the cross of Jesus Christ, we were freed from the law. You know the purpose of the law? The law is there to teach us. The law is there to tell us what we do wrong. The law is a bar, if you may. It is a mark that we should try to hit. But at the same time, when we don't hit it, what does it remind us of? It reminds us of our deep, abiding need for grace. Well, thank God, years ago, 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ came to this earth. The God-man came, and He literally died on the cross for our sin so that the law could be fulfilled, so that in Christ we are literally getting guidance away from the bondage of the law. No longer should the law bind us, but through Christ and Christ alone and His love, we can fulfill that law. So today, He also is giving us guidance away from the bondage of the flesh. The Bible tells us in verse 19 through 21, the flesh is powerful. Oh, I'd love to go down on these. These are so, so powerful when you look at them, so convicting. But we cannot go on a deep dive today in those things. But I can tell you this, that in verse 19 through 21, those sins, those works of the flesh that are mentioned, listen carefully. You can break them down into three different ways. They are either sins of regarding sex, some kind of sexual sin. They are sins regarding religion, some kind of religious sin. And they are sins regarding relationships, some kind of relationship sins. And guess what? When they're mentioned, they're twisted. They're not God's will. Your flesh never leads you to God's will. Did you hear me? Your flesh will never lead you to God's will. Your flesh is trying to get you away from the will of God. When are we going to see that? There are many of us who have been in church for years, and we say we've known the Lord for years. Hey, we need to get a clue. We need a wake-up call. And the wake-up call is, your flesh is not your friend. Your flesh is your enemy. And we can blame a lot of things on the devil from time to time, but I want to tell you what, even though he's alive and active and trying to destroy your life, there's someone in you who is you, and it's called the flesh, and it is constantly in opposition to the will of God and to the person of God in your life. I mean, we're strong people, man. We're willful people, are we not? Well, the Bible gives us some wonderful news, and that is that God is leading us, giving us guidance away from the bondage of the law and away from the bondage of the flesh, and also towards the life God has for us. He's leading us towards the life that God has for us. What is that life God has for us? Well, verse 22 and 23 again. I mean, we could literally go down on this for several weeks if we wanted to take one at a time and talk about it, but we can't take that deep dive. But I want to tell you, it's a worthy dive. But it's fruit. Fruit comes in clusters. If you have the Holy Spirit living in you and you are following the Holy Spirit, that cluster will be seen. Evidences of that will be seen in your life. So even here, he declares that when we exhibit this lifestyle, he says the law is not needed. Why is that? Because of verse 24. We will live rightly. Listen to verse 24 says, if we belong to Christ. Verse 24 says, then we are crucified. That means we're dead to the passions and dead to the desires of our flesh. Years ago, somebody made for me a wooden cross. I have a prayer bench in my Springdale study. That's where I always end up on Sunday morning before I walk through asking God for various things. I go back there on my knees and I grab that cross. And I quote Galatians 2:20, because I am crucified with Christ. That means I'm dead to my trespasses and my sins. I'm dead to my will. Now, sometimes I don't act like I'm dead, do I? Sometimes I don't act like I am what I really am. I am dead to those things. I'm not alive to them. I'm dead to them. But when I'm making progress in my spiritual life, I'm activating on God's Holy Spirit, and He is literally giving me guidance on how to overcome those matters in life. There's an insight that I want to give you today because I think this is so critical, and we've got to get this today. This passage teaches us something that we have to elevate, and here's what it teaches. There is a connection between inward transformation and outward manifestation. There is a connection between inward transformation and outward manifestation. I'm telling you, we have to understand that to the level we're growing inwardly in our faith will be to the level that will be verified through our outward walk and our talk and the way we live. Outward manifestation would never be any greater than inward transformation. You know, years and years and years, the church would preach about that outward manifestation. And the church would call us up to greater outward manifestations. And it was like preaching to the wind because it produced very little. The church will never prosper from preaching, calling for that outward manifestation, because inwardly, it's got to be a matter of the heart. It's got to, inward transformation always precedes the outward manifestation. So today, if you're not pleased with certain elements of your life and evidence, look at the internal. Who's winning the fight? Who's winning the battle? Are you following the Holy Spirit? Speaking of that, let's move to the next item. The Holy Spirit leads to supernatural living. He leads to supernatural living. I want you to really notice with me verse 25. I want to talk about the first part of verse 25. I talked about highlighting this verse a moment ago. If we live by the Spirit, since, is the way the Greek has it, since we live by the Spirit. Now that Christ is in our lives, prayerfully we're winning that battle that is within us, and since we live by the Holy Spirit, since the Holy Spirit is living within us, listen to me today, we will have real life. That's what supernatural living is. We will have a blessed life. We will have an endless life. We will have a fresh life. We will have a strong life. We will have a powerful life. We want to talk about what we're able to do. Let me tell you what we cannot do. Your flesh cannot give you real life. That's why you're never satisfied. Did you hear me? Doesn't matter what you have, what you get, what you gain, who you know. You always want to know somebody else. You always want to have more. The flesh cannot give you real life. The flesh cannot give you a blessed life. You might think you are, but you're not. Because true blessings come from God. The flesh cannot give you an endless life. This flesh leads to death and destruction and hell, according to Romans chapter 8. This flesh cannot give you a fresh life. If you're stale in your faith, that's because you are living in the power of your flesh rather than the power of the Holy Spirit. This flesh cannot give you a strong life. And this flesh cannot give you a powerful life. This life is weak. Weak, weak, weak. There is nothing good in us. No, not one thing at all. Our flesh cannot give us this. Only when we live by the Spirit, follow the Holy Spirit, do we get this. Now follow me today. The Holy Spirit leads towards progress. Me being further along in my faith than I was yesterday. Just one mark, progress. The Holy Spirit leads me to make that progress. The Holy Spirit leads me giving guidance. I mean, He is guiding me. The Holy Spirit leads to supernatural living. But notice the usage of the rest of that verse. The Holy Spirit leads to orderly standing. Orderly standing. That's what He leads you to do. Let me illustrate and let me exegete the text for a moment. The Bible says in verse 25, if we live, since we live by the Spirit, we must also, circle that word, follow the Spirit. Now, if I were out here sitting listening to Ronnie today teach the Word to me and preach the Word of God to me, I would ask this question, Ronnie, what does that word follow really mean? I mean, if I'm going to be what I need to be and I'm going to follow the Holy Spirit, what does that word follow really mean? Well, if you understand the word in the original language, here's what it means. It means keep in step with. It means to be drawn up in line. It means to stand in a row. Oh, it's so important of a word. Isn't it amazing that here we are, we find ourselves in verse 25, and today is Veterans Day in the United States of America. Did you know that the terminology used in verse 25 about follow is a military term? That's what it is. Paul uses a military term. And Paul is telling us, if you're going to follow the Holy Spirit, that means you keep yourself in line with the Holy Spirit. That means that you draw yourself up in line. It means that you are to stand in a row. So the Holy Spirit leads us in life to keep in step with God. You ever feel like you're out of step with God? He calls and keeps us in line. And He tells us where to stand. You know, we've all seen movies or television shows where there's been some guy who is a lesser rank than his sergeant or someone in the military branch, and he tries to exercise his will, and here he is coming into boot camp, and he's trying to make himself known, and, you know, he may not be shaving, he may not have his hair just right or something. I mean, you got a sergeant out there yelling in his ear, telling what he ought to do, and, I mean, basically making him understand, bro, you have just checked into the Armed Forces of the United States, and you no longer have a will. And the goal is what? To break that will. That way, when they are told to step in line and to be what they're supposed to be, they do it. Well, I want you to know that's exactly what God wants for you and me. He wants us to understand that when the Holy Spirit commands us, He calls us into order. He calls us to stand where we need to stand. Now the question is, where do we stand? Let's try this on. We need to always stand in the Word of God. Always stand in the Word of God. It's getting less and less popular to stand in the Word of God. But I want to tell you today, we are a part of a church that believes in the infallibility and the authority of Holy Scripture. We are a church that believes in the inerrant Word of God, that it is truth without any mixture at all of error. We are a truth-driven church. That's who we are. Political platforms built on shifting sands will come and go, but the Word of God abides forever. And we need to remember that. And I want to challenge you today to understand, build your life. Get yourself orderly standing in the Word of God. And also stand in the ways of God. Oh, not meaning in a defiant way, I'm going to stand in the way of God, but stand trusting in the ways of God. In that very first message that we talked about, the Holy Spirit, we talked about out of 1 Corinthians 2, about how He reveals to us the work of God. And we talked very clearly about how the Holy Spirit reveals to us what we called and categorized as some of those sacred secrets of God. But we also told you in chapter 2, verse 11, there are times when you don't know what God is doing. There are times you don't understand the ways of God. In fact, even the writer, the Holy Spirit, tells us there are times when you cannot see what God is doing with your eyes or hear what God is doing with your ears. There are times that the God is moving that you will not see it, you will not recognize it with your mind, with your rationale, or even with the ability of intelligence. But sometimes the only way you're going to know is through the Word of God. And even then, there are a few times in your life you will not know till you get to heaven, or you may never know. It's pretty remarkable, isn't it? Because we were reminded, and we're reminded today, that we always say, when I get to heaven, I want to ask God this. Probably you're not going to be worried about that when you get to heaven. Maybe you're going to know more then than you know now. But until then, we trust God in His ways. He knows what's best for us, even when we don't know what's best for ourselves. I don't know about y'all, but, you know, I'm not the smartest guy in the room, but I want to assure you, I am really glad God has not answered every prayer I've ever prayed. Can I get a shout out for that? Things would be different in a lot of ways. Every year I read through the Word of God, and this past week I finished my reading through it. That doesn't mean I won't read it between now and the end of the year, because I've been reading it. But I finished this year in the book of Romans, and I tell you, my heart was arrested when I was reading Romans 11, which is a very intriguing chapter. But for those of you that have read the book of Romans, you remember what he says in chapter 11, verse 33? how unsearchable his judgments and untraceable his ways. Oh man, we think we can trace the ways. No, we can't trace his ways. Oh, if God were, he worked like that before in my life, that doesn't mean he's going to work like that again. We walk around trying to play some copycat Christianity. No! God is creative. He's going to work in your life different than he works in my life. Throughout human history, there may be some trends that go on, but I promise you, he customizes the work. Some of us would categorize that as confusing, but I want to tell you the way he sees it. He's loving you personally for who you are, helping you to be what you need to be. And you cannot always trace his ways. Now, Gina and I, we've been married a few years. 36, the last day of this year. 36, that's hard to believe. I'm only 45. I've been married since I was 9. 36 years. And you know what? We can pretty well trace the ways of one another. Doesn't matter what we say to each other, we pretty well got each other pegged. She really probably does that a lot better than I do. I mean, I can be filling her ear with bull and she's looking, come on, man. I know better than that. She's tracing my ways. That man's laughing. He's been married 60 years tomorrow. You know better, don't you, buddy? That's right. You know what? But guess what? That's not the way God works. We can trace a little about what's happening out here in the world and with relationships. You can't trace the hand of God. That's part of the mystery. I'm reminded of what the great preacher Charles Spurgeon said. I love this phrase. It's lasted throughout all history since he lived. When you can't trace his hand, you can trust his heart. Man, there are times you can't trace the hand of God, but you got to trust his heart. Are you trusting his heart? We always want to know the end from the beginning. We always want to know what it's like, what God's doing. Hey, there are times you're not going to know that, but you got to keep your hand to the plow. You got to keep your eyes on Christ, and you got to press on, man. You got to lead on. You got to wade through it. You got to keep your heart on the things of God and on God himself and just trust him. That's not easy, is it? I told you, in your life, you will follow someone or something. It is inevitable. Those of you on Twitter, what do? You choose to follow someone. Follow. So you go on and you check it. You follow them. Listen. You choose to follow something or someone in your life. And what we need to do, we need to get in God's world and we need to check, follow. And the way it all starts is this way. There has to be a moment and a time when I decide I'm going to follow Jesus. That's where it all starts. Several years ago, there was a definitive day, a definitive night, a definitive experience that happened to me when I started following Jesus. And by the way, it was not a choice where when I did that, I became perfect overnight. Oh no. But it was a moment, that day was the moment when all of a sudden I began to follow making progress. And I've been progressing ever since. Because Christianity is not about perfection, but it's about progress. And there are many of us here today, we may have chosen to follow this or follow that, but have you ever really chosen to follow Jesus Christ? God sent his wonderful Son to this earth to die for your sins. And for the sins of the world, and today if you will open your life to him, turn from your sins and receive him into your life, you will have a moment where you begin to follow him. And everything will change. Not that you will become perfect, but that you'll begin to make progress in your life spiritually. Will you do that if you've never done that? And there are many of us, we've chosen to do that. But every day is a day I've got to choose to follow the Holy Spirit. I got to choose. It's a volitional choice. Nothing's changed. I'm still in the choice business. I got to choose Him. What am I choosing? Will I choose Him? Will I choose to follow Him? I promise you, tomorrow morning when I get up early, I will determine who will I follow today. And by midday, depending on what happens to me, I will have that choice again. Who will I follow today? And by tomorrow afternoon, that same choice will come. And by tomorrow night, that same choice will come. And I don't know the winds are going to come to me. I don't know the current I'm going to be in. I don't know the war. I don't know anything about it. But I promise you, numerous times tomorrow, I will make that choice. If we are led by the Spirit, then we should what? Follow the Spirit. To get myself in line with Him. What a beautiful expression on this day.